Today, our message is going to be a topical sermon, which I usually don't do. It will be done and I will do pretty much extemporaneously, and I say that cautiously. But I titled this sermon with two titles. The first was A Little Taste of Heaven, and the second was The Sweet Fellowships of the Saints. And I thought that both were appropriate. And what I'm speaking to this morning, at least in some degree, is to the time that I've had this week, or this past week, with all of those from our presbytery and some others as well, who were able to join themselves together. And some of them are still not back, and people are still traveling around, but it was a quite joyous time. And it is, I'll say this, it is one that I look forward to every year. I've missed one conference since I've been here, and that was because my motorcycle broke down halfway across the journey, and I needed to get it back here. I love this time of being with the saints. And there's many different ways that we can do it, but again, this again reminded me so much, and much more so our international, where we have a much larger gathering, of a taste of heaven. And I say that regularly as to our meeting here together on Sundays. It is, and it should be, and we should feel that way as we deal with a wicked and sinful world, a wicked generation of people. And this is the time we get to come together with other believers. Now, keep in mind, and we do this all the time, we're not perfect people. So as we're coming together, that's why I say it's a little taste of heaven. The little part of it is us, because we are still sinners and we still struggle. But I wanted to look at this today in perspective of some of the things that we are doing. And the message, again, is what we'll be considering today is the fellowship of the saints. One verse that I wanted to read, and there's a number, and that's why there's none marked on here, but there's not too many today. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, but as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let's pray. Our Father God, we again thank you that you have given us this blessing of being able to gather together, and not only in our times of worship, but at other times and in other ways. But it is still the same thing. It is the fellowshipping of the saints, of those that you have called to yourself. And we thank you, Lord, for this blessing that we get to share with each other, because it indeed is truly a blessing. And Father, we thank you that when we are gathered in that way, that you are there, and that you, through the Holy Spirit, are directing us and blessing us. And even as we do try, sometimes we don't do it as good as others, but we try to encourage one another. And we pray, Lord, even as we gather today, and this is a part of our weekly fellowship where we gather, that you would help to strengthen the bond of the saints gathered here today. Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of any of those who may not be fully convinced of the word and the things that you teach, who may not know you yet, as well as those who may be struggling in certain areas of their faith. Use this time, Lord. Help us through your word. Help us to draw closer to you and to draw closer to one another. And we pray all this in Christ's name, who is head and king of the church forever. Amen. When giving consideration to the fellowships of the saints, I believe that it is best, and I say this carefully, to consider this in at least three different categories. The first of this is the call to fellowship. We are called by God as God's people to gather one with another in different arenas in our life, in different ways, whether it be in church or in home fellowships, in times of meals together, times of outings, all sorts of things. We just came from a Pacific Coast Presbytery conference, which was a blessed time. We're called to these by our God. We are called. And again, it's getting ready for that time when we will be with one another. We need to understand as well the blessing of fellowship. Sometimes you run into Christians that say, well, I don't like to be around other people. Or I don't like to be around other Christians. Well, if you have a problem being around other Christians, I'll be honest and I'll say it, you have a problem. There's a problem there. And it's not on the other Christian's fault. Yes, I know that other Christians are sinners and they're probably worse than you, but it's the problem that we deal with. And that's our sin nature. But we are called to this and we need to see the blessing, because I want to say this, the fellowship of the saints is not just with one another. It goes in a different direction. It's our fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit as well that we must give special attention to. And then the third one, and I'm not going to point to each of these as they go, but I want you to see them and I'll direct you in different parts, is the necessity of fellowship. We need fellowship one with another. It's not an option. It's not an extra. It might be nice to do this. It might be nice not. We need this. And I'll tell you when you need it most is when you don't feel like you want a fellowship with the saints. When, oh man, you know, we do this all. We need to be with one another. These are times where we lift one another up. We build one another up. And again, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit using us. He uses us. We're vehicles, we're vessels that He uses to accomplish His good and great purposes. And I brought up these three. I'm sure I could think of a number of others had I really wanted to dig into this deeper, but I wanted to keep the sermon at a reasonable timing today as we're partaking of the Lord's Supper as well. But I believe that these three will suffice for this morning's message as we come together and we are already in fellowship. Well, I'm speaking of fellowship while we're in fellowship. And we'll be looking at these, again, these three major aspects of fellowship as we give consideration to a few passages today. I'm not going to use an abundance of them, and there were a number, but I picked the ones that spoke especially to fellowship and point out some of these things. And hopefully by the end of the message, you will have a better understanding of this blessing that God has given to our church, to His church, and that you will desire to build stronger relationships of fellowship. The word in the Greek is koinonia, and it has a number of different meanings, and I like that part of it is the idea of contributing, to contribute, because when we do fellowship, we do. We each contribute to it, otherwise it's not real fellowship. And we're going to look at a number of aspects of the fellowship, but there's also another aspect of it, and that's participating. We need to participate. You can't just kind of go and, well, I'll go and I'll hang out in the back of the room and I'm just going to lean against the wall and get low and not look at anybody. Fellowship is something we need. I'm going to give you the perfect example as I can, because I just came back again So did a few others. Well, let's see, not too many others here. Some are away still, but the Wilsons are gone, and Linda's still gone. Amelia was able to be there, and Dawn and Bonnie and I were able to be there this year, along with many others. And I want to share some of this because it's important for us to understand, because sometimes we think that fellowship only takes place in an organized setting. And some of the best times of fellowship take place outside of that at times. And they're not directed in quite the same way of teaching as they are of interacting. One of the big things we have to understand with fellowship, and I struggle with this at times because I've just got so much to share with people all the time. It never ends. I could just go, and I send people home late at times and say, I'm sorry I kept you for so long, because there's just so much to say. There's so much to share. But we need to do it. It's a back and forth. Now again, even in the worship, now I speak, but you sing. And we pray together. We do things together. And there's different types of fellowship too. Again, we have the types where you just get together with a couple of people and you have a meal. And that's a wonderful time. I love those times of fellowship. I wish I could do them more. I remember years ago when Bonnie and I were still relatively young, our house was always, we had different people coming in and out, and we had a couple of different types of meetings going on weekly, and it was just, if we didn't accomplish anything else, if it wasn't the best teaching in the world, we had good fellowship with the saints, and we enjoyed that, and we were blessed by it. And they were usually blessed by it. Again, it doesn't always work perfectly. Again, some of the things that I was thinking about this week, some of the fellowship was just people going out and walking together. They just walked around together. Some of the people sat around in hot springs. The kids fellowship their own way. But they had a wonderful time together. And they never want to leave. They always want to stay. And I think a lot of the adults really want to stay too, because you want to extend it, but we realize we have other things that we must do, that we're called to do. We're not only called to fellowship, but we're called to other tasks as well. But I want us to see the joy of this, because I want to encourage you, even as this year starts, as we've left the one conference, to be preparing for next year's, and to be preparing for the international, as you are able and as God calls you to these things, we need to be looking at this saying, well, would I rather go and see this, or would I rather go and be with God's people? And I think that if we think it through well, we should desire to be with God's people. And when we don't desire to be with God's people, then we need to think it through again and ask ourselves clearly, why don't I want this fellowship? And sometimes we're like, well, I want half the fellowship. I want to part this with the Holy Spirit, but again, I don't want to part this with God. And then some other people, they're like, I want to part that, or they want to part with the Holy Spirit, but not with the other people of God. And the other ones, they want to part of fellowships that's with the people of God, because the people of God can't see their sin so clearly, as opposed to that good and great and beautiful fellowship that we have with the Holy Spirit. Some of the things that I'd thought about this week, they were inconsequential in the scope of things. But just sitting around at night, around midnight or so, talking with people. And the conversations go in different directions. You start here and all of a sudden you're over here. But you're hearing things and you're learning things. And you're growing. And you're fellowshipping with the saints. And usually it's only with one or two or three or more. They had a beautiful, just kind of came up out of no place, psalm sing at the last night of the conference. And a couple people sat down and they said, oh, they were talking. And they said, all right, let's sing the psalms. And I saw it begin. And then I walked and I went somewhere else and I came back and I'm hearing loud psalm singing, and I'm thinking, wow, that's gotten bigger and better. And I was thinking to myself, even as it was going on, I was sitting there, I'm thinking, oh man, I wish Emilio could be there. And he was there. I didn't know it though. But he was there because he'd went someplace else that evening because we didn't have the big events planned. And I'd forgot to tell them one of the beautiful things about church camps is when there's nothing going on and you want something to be going on, you just walk around. If you walk around long enough, you'll find something going on. There's some group of people that are not tired yet. And they're going to not be tired until about 1 in the morning. And what a blessing it was to hear it and to see that. And even some of the other people, because we had fellowship also of a different sort with the people that served us through the week. These are all Christians, and they're all students that do the best there. They're their best students, and they get the privilege. Here's how it works. They get the privilege, if they do well enough in school, of coming to serve you all summer long, you and other people like you. And they were so blessed, and it's such a good attitude of things. And you just didn't want to leave the campus, okay? You don't want to leave because you know what's out there. And it's not very nice all the time. So you stay there and you think, well, let the days linger on, Lord. And the teaching was outstanding that was there through our main speaker, Adam. I want you to understand this because we get small bits of it here. We get it in our church. We get it in our gatherings with family and outside of family. We make time, and I encourage you, make time. Don't always wait to be the person that's invited someplace. Be the inviter. Encourage fellowship. Meet people at different places. It can be one or more. Take some time out of your busy and sometimes lonely life to say, I need fellowship. And I want fellowship because this is what God has for us. I also want us that we should give thoughts and try to understand a little bit as we look through some of these passages to the what, who, where, when, and why of fellowship. And also I wanted to add the other one, the how. How into this list of things as well. And it is when that we see two or more gathered that the fellowship of the saints take place. That's all it takes is for two people to have fellowship. Now, if there's more, that's great. And sometimes it's greater to have a whole bunch more. Sometimes it's better to keep the numbers low. But it still accomplishes the great thing. And it reminds us of who we are in Christ Jesus. One of the things we also want to remember is we're not the only ones of fellowship. People who are outside of Christ fellowship too. And they like to fellowship with people of their own mindset, their own thinking. It's not a godly fellowship like we have. Now, oftentimes it's not a good fellowship, but it's a fellowship that they have one with another. And one of the things I want to encourage us here today to consider as we're looking at some of this is, where do you find your greatest times of fellowship? And I'm hoping that the answer should be evident, that it should be with other Christians. But I've met Christians sometimes that have told me, well, I really, you know, I love Christ and I love the church, but I really don't like hanging out with other Christians. And I'm thinking, whoa, hold on. If you don't like other Christians, who do you like? And they tell them, well, you know, and your friends. It doesn't mean you can't have friends who are outside the church. And you can't, clearly you can have acquaintances, but your best friends, your closest friends, those who you form great relationships with, are those same people that you will be spending forever with in heaven. And these are the ones that God has appointed for you to have in your life on this earth as well. So again, it's when two or more are together. And what takes place in the fellowship? Well, all kinds of things can take place in a fellowship. Again, you can just sit around talking about the things of God, or even sometimes what's going on in your life. And clearly, we're looking at it from a perspective of God being available. It could turn into something else where you're singing and rejoicing. Hopefully, sometimes if your fellowship would be that where you're praying with the people that God has put you with. And sometimes you can learn. Also, sometimes you get to teach. I know I've been blessed with both, and I enjoy sitting and listening to other people teach me things and show me things that I don't know. But let's look at a few passages here in considering them. I'm not going to read all of the passage. I'm going to give it to you, and you can look at it. Acts 2, 36 through 43. And this is, again, dealing with Peter's sermon. And I'm going to read down from 38. And it says, Peter said to them, repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Let me stop right there. This should always be a part of our fellowship, especially if we are having a type of fellowship with those outside of Christ, is trying to share with them the reality and the truth of the gospel of Christ. But the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. And to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So this answers part of our question, looking at the when. When were they doing it? It wasn't like a certain time and a certain time of day. They were continually. This became literally a part of their lives from the get-go. And I remember as a young Christian still that I could not get enough of fellowship. And when I say young, I wasn't young. I was 30 years old when I got saved. But I felt young compared to now. But you know, I couldn't get enough of it. So Sunday wasn't hardly enough. And Sunday went from Sunday morning at 8 o'clock and shut down about 11 o'clock at night. Then Monday, there was something Monday. Then another group, in another church. And I found things to do so I could be around Christians every night of the week. Every single night of the week, because I wanted to be with Christians when I wasn't doing other things that I needed to do, when I wasn't working or doing other things. I wanted to be with Christians, and I wanted to serve. And I want to encourage you, that's part of our fellowshipping, is our service to one another in many different ways. I remember asking the pastor, what can I do to serve God in the church? And you know, as a young Christian, I thought of myself as more than I was. And he said, well, we really need somebody to come in and turn the heaters on, because it was like those propane heaters on Sunday morning in Pittsburgh, and there was no heat in this church, and to clean out the bathrooms. And I thought for about 30 seconds, I said, I'll do it. If that's, you know, where to start, that's good place to start. Everybody wants a clean bathroom and a warm bathroom when you go in there on a freezing cold morning in Pittsburgh, because those churches drop about 20 degrees colder than it is outside for some reason. But there was not enough of the fellowship to keep me happy. Again, as you get older, things get different and you just get older. But I think that this should be the ideal for the Christian, is to desire to be with other Christians. And it doesn't mean you have to go to the extreme that I did. I'm always a bit of an extremist. But that we should desire this, and we should search it out. And we should make opportunities, both to open up our homes and to others to do the same thing. And it said this, that they were doing this, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Well, I think part of the awe was just in the delight of being with people of God and knowing them and knowing that spirit that's in you is also in them in the same way. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 7, well, I probably won't read 7, 1. It says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Pretty much what I just told you. We want to have friends in the outside world. Like I have friends who are in all different sorts of backgrounds, but they're not friends in the same way that Christians are, and I'm not bound to them. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? And so this answers our question, at least in part, of who we should be fellowshipping with, and what types of settings even really we should be looking at having our fellowship in. And he goes on to say, or what harmony has Christ with Baal? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Now, obviously, we do have some things in common with them because they're sinners, and so are we still. We like to pretend sometimes like we're not. We're saved sinners, but we're sinners all the time. We may not be as deep in our depravity as they are, but we still have our struggles. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. That reminder here, that we are the temple, means the living God is with us. And just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. What a wonderful word that we see tied in this with this idea, though, of who we are in Christ and what we're called to do. And again, who we're called to be with. Another one that speaks of the who, but in a different sense. Remember I said there's the man-to-man aspect, and then there's the God-to-God. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14 says this, finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit in many different ways. We have fellowship with the Holy Spirit just on a personal and private sense with Him, but also in interaction with the other saints that He is working in their lives as well too, because God speaks to us through one another in many different ways. It's not just the preaching of the Word of God that is effective and useful for the Christian, but also for the sharing of the wisdom that God has imparted to you with those who you may be listening to, and you may say, I need to share with them this wonderful thing that God has shown me, or this wonderful way that God has worked in my life over the many years that I've known Him. God works through His people and for His people. And then in 1 John, and this is an interesting one because, again, this again speaks more of the who we are to be with than any. And I'm going to read down just from 1 John 1:1 to 7, I think. I may keep going. But it reads here, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is a message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And so there's this ping-ponging back and forth here. Oh, let me finish that up. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, as I said, we have this back and forth, the fellowship with one another, the fellowship with God, the fellowship with one another. And remember, a part of this is not just to be building us up so that we feel good in ourselves, but again, to bring us to that place where we're seeing the necessity of sharing the blessings of Christ with those who don't know him. Because that's our job here. Our job is not just, as much as I like to have fellowship and think that it's a good thing and to have a good time with brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not our calling here. He could have just taken us right to heaven. We would have had a better time all around. But he has left us here so that we might serve him, so that we might proclaim the truth of the gospel to others who we also want to bring into the fellowship. And that should be our desire. Remember the Jews, when they were saved, when they were that small nation, that God said, this is going to be my peculiar, particular people. And they were all into themselves. And sometimes we do that too. We get all into ourselves. And although God had told them time and time again that they should be welcoming people from other lands and other cultures to come in and to become a part of this, they rejected that. They only wanted fellowship with one another. The psalms that we sing speak of the whole world proclaiming, the whole world worshiping, but they were like, there's us. And then there's the bad people. They had no desire to see the rest of the world come and to be joined into that. Not in that great sense, but that should be at the heart of what we do. Even in our fellowship and our getting together, I go to conferences so I can learn, so I can be encouraged in my walk with the Lord, so that I can be more useful in my calling of not just preaching, but of sharing the truth, that wonderful gospel, with other people. And I've been built up over the years in many of them, and I've gained great wisdom from listening to others speak to me. They are a time of relaxing, unless you happen to be the speaker. And then they still are a time of fellowship, because I spoke to our main speaker and some of the others this time, and they told me how absolutely blessed they were in their conversations with other people and the things that other people were sharing with them. So, the fellowship, it's a give and take. It's a back and forth. It's not, well, I get or you get. It's back and forth, and that's the joy of it. And I kept going back to the fellowship of the saints, because over the years, and especially many years ago, there was a big to-do over the Fellowship of the Ring. Well, you know what? The Fellowship of the Ring is kind of a nothing burger. And this is big. This is big because we need it. And some people, again, they're feeling like, well, I don't need that. I just need, to kind of be off by my... We need the fellowship. We need it. And we're going to have it. And we're not only going to have it for now, and then when you get to go to be with the Lord, you'll get your own corner again. we will be fellowshipping with one another for all of eternity. So I tell people the best I can now, start to get used to them. Try to like them. Pray for them. If you don't like somebody in the faith, what do? Pray for them. And I don't mean pray God change them. We all know that prayer. We've all prayed that prayer. But pray for them. Pray that God would enlighten them, that he would give them wisdom, that he would bless them. Pray for them. I've told you many times before, most of you, I'm completely convinced you cannot continue to dislike or have ill feelings and hatred towards somebody whom you are praying for on a regular basis. So the people that you don't like are the people you should be praying for the most. The people you do like, you should be praying for them because you already like them and you care for them. And this is all, as I said, sometimes that's a great part of our fellowship. It's getting together. And that sometimes the best part of it, and sometimes we forget this at the end. And people say, well, good night, we'll see you later. And we forgot to take some time to pray for one another and for the other people in our church or our churches, depending on who you're meeting with. We forgot to pray for our pastors and leaders in the church. Because when we get up from doing that, we feel more joined. We feel closer. We feel a part of what we are a part of. Sometimes we say, well, I'm a part of this church, but you don't really feel a part of the church. Well, generally, if you don't feel like you're a part of the church, it's not always the church's fault. Sometimes it's yours for not seeking and pursuing the fellowship that we should have. Where do we fellowship? Pretty much everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere that you can. When you have opportunity. And why do we fellowship? Well, because God has shown us that we should be fellowshipping. It's good for us. Because we see when we read about it that it's a blessing, that it's an encouragement. Why should we fellowship? Because we need it. We need it so that we can remain strong in Christ. It's not only your studies that improve you as a Christian. That will improve your intellect. It'll improve your theologies, which are good because they help you to be more encouraging in your own fellowship with others. But that's not all there is to the Christian life. And the fellowshipping of the saints is a great part of this. Let me read this one other passage here that I would. In Philippians 2, and you know, many of you know how much I love the book of Philippians, so I couldn't get out of that one. But this is, again, I'm going to be looking at 2 verses 1 through 10. I'm just going to read it. I'm only looking really at verse 1 and 10, but the middle part kind of brings it all together. It's kind of like having two pieces of bread, they're good, but the other stuff in the middle is good too. Here it reads, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Let me stop there for a second. Another good reason to have fellowship. So you can look out for the interest of others. How do you look out for the interest? Well, first off, you have to know what's going on in the lives of others before you can even be aware of what's taking place. And then doing what you can to help them. Not only saying, well, this will get my life's way. This will take up too much of my time. Do what you can. Think of others and not only of yourself. And then it says, going down from 7 on, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from him on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Interesting phrase, being conformed to his death. The fellowship of his sufferings, that I may join with him in this. And we understand when we look at this idea that Paul had, I count all things as garbage in comparison to this. And in our gatherings together, in our times of fellowship with one another, whether that be the big corporate one or the much bigger camp or the gigantic international, again, these are but foretaste of that which is yet to come, where all the Christians from all the time gathered throughout all the world will be gathered together, and we will be in eternal fellowship one with another. Now, how that all looks and pans out, not quite sure. But you will actually have time in your eternity to get to know every single one of God's saints thoroughly. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Talk about fellowship here. It's just a little taste. Because the fellowship could go on for thousands of years. We don't know how it works exactly, but we know we will be together. We may not be all in the same room all the time. Hopefully not. But we will have fellowship one with another. And even as we have it now, when we come together as Christians, when we meet, when we have meals together, when we have picnics, or whatever we can, and we should be, when people say we're going to have this, we should go, man, I can't wait for that, as opposed to, oh, how do I get out of that? Because that's the way people think sometimes. Oh, I don't really want to go to that. That's going to be such an effort. Make the effort. It's what we're called to do. Make the effort for one another. Because you don't know when, through a fellowship with one of the saints, through a casual conversation you might have at a coffee shop or something, that you may bless them in ways that you may never know because of something you shared with them. Because you took the time to say, you know what, brother, I need to be praying for you. And I need to pray now, and I need to pray later, and I need to continue to pray for you. We need to be a blessing for one another, and that's what fellowship in Christ should be for us. I'm going to stop there. I could go on for a while, but you get the idea. It is a blessing that God has given us. We pray for God's blessings. God, please bless me. And we pray, hopefully, God, please bless my brothers and sisters. But he has blessed us with many things and many gifts. And fellowship that we have one with another is a unique thing that we have to share, because it's not just us sharing one-to-one, but it's us sharing one-to-one, us sharing with God and partaking together in the fellowship that we have with him. So let's pray. Our Father God, again, we thank you today that you have shown us many things, that you have instructed us that even that we are called to come together every week. And it's not only and solely for the sake of worshiping you, but that we come together in fellowship one with another, giving you praise and thanks for the blessings you have given to us as your people. And we pray, Lord, that you would encourage us today to strive, to work harder at making time in our lives for others. Others who may not be as blessed as we are in many different ways. But also making time for others, because sometimes we just don't know when somebody's just going to bless the socks off of us. We just don't know. But Lord, let us be always ready, even in that area, to share one with another, to be a part of one another's lives, to be an encouragement, to be a prayer warrior for somebody. And let us rejoice in the work that you have done, knowing that when you were here with your apostles, that you spent 3 years in deep fellowship with them. That your time together was precious and necessary. And that the apostles did the same. And that it has been the same throughout the history of the church. Lord, let us delight in this blessing that you have given us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Well, let us turn in our Psalters to Psalm 116, selection B.